On today's episode of Project Pundits Unplugged, things get off to a great start.
You hear me? Can you hear me?
Paying for zit removal.
I don't know, these zits are gonna really bug me. So, when you're editing, how hard would it be to have Richie modify the zits out?
It's actually not that hard. Well, it depends on what plugins he has. Hi, Richie. Yeah. Sorry you have to listen to
I'll
this.
I'll pay for a plugin to remove my zit. A zit removal plugin.
Brayden tries to lay down the law.
We're going to keep this one relatively close. As soon as we hit 30 minutes, I'm going to just start like doing wrap-up stuff. Like,
I think
I'll start
like
singing.
The longer 40-minute episodes had the most views.
I'm gonna start singing at 30 minutes. I'm just letting
you know. Just because you have the attention span of a gnat doesn't mean everybody else does.
Oh, gnats have way longer attention spans than I do. You're insulting to gnats right now.
Welcome, everybody, to yet another episode of the Project Pundits Unplugged pod. At this point, we are on the fence as to whether this is part of season two or finishing season one. I guess by the time you see this, they'll have a title screen that'll indicate which it is. But, you know, Brayden's actually going to take a family trip, which is well-deserved in the next week. So we wanted to get something down. We both have been in a series of meetings and we're chatting about our history. Shared, some not shared. I wouldn't call them all comedic, but let's say they're all interesting history of meetings and various things that have happened. So we thought we'd talk about some of those and share with you not only our experience, but I'm sure you guys have been through similar experiences. So we're going to have a light episode this time, and then honestly would love to hear anybody who's had other similar or not so similar reactions. I think some of the meetings and some of the things that have happened, I am really curious to see if others have run into similar things. And there's a couple that maybe will come back at the end of the video and see if others can leave their stories that are similar. One has to do with wildlife. And as we, Brayden and I were talking about it, I actually have a couple to add on. And then I was thinking, actually I have more than there's a couple more, which is bizarre that corporate meetings have anything to do with wildlife, but we'll get into that. So,
can I start with that one, Jim? Can I dive
into
that?
Yeah, please,
one?
Please.
So it's interesting. And, you know, I was looking out, so I have a window here right next to, my office. I work out of home it's interesting here in, I'm on the West Coast, California. We recently moved from Connecticut and, it's kind of a big change in that in Connecticut, we lived on a couple of acres in a heavily wooded area. And I look out the window any given minute in Connecticut, and I would just see a zoo. We've seen bobcats and deer and coyote, you name it. We've seen all kinds of amazing wildlife back there. And here in California, you get lizards and crows. And that's
here
about
in godless California, the Satanist country.
Two earthquakes in the last
another sign,
month, by the way. It's
of
it's
God
been interesting.
Punishing you for
thank you, Jim. That's I but here's what was interesting.
Yeah.
I was looking at the and so I was reminded we used to so when I worked in Connecticut, I was in a meeting. And I can't remember, were you at this meeting, Jim?
I wasn't at this one.
You weren't. Okay. So we were in a conference room in, it was a Friday afternoon. We were in this corner conference room. The one wall was a floor to ceiling window. So you're seeing essentially an entire wall out onto, actually it was a golf course in the back right next to where we were. And there was a fountain just outside of the conference room. And oftentimes pigeons would hang out at that fountain. They would drink and bathe and do whatever they did. And of course, so it's a Friday afternoon, been a long week. And so everyone that's in the conference room was kind of allowing their attention to wander. I think it was a status meeting or something, and people were taking turns. So it wasn't an intense meeting. And as this was going on, allowing my attention to wander. I know you guys, no one else does this, but I allow my attention to wander occasionally. I'm looking outside at these birds, and I'm focused on one particular pigeon who's kind of standing on the edge of the pond. And I wasn't really, you know, lasered in on him, but I was kind of looking at him. And he exploded right in front of my eyes. As I watched him, he exploded into a cloud of feathers. And I sort of pause and say, okay, did I miss something? Did someone shoot it? What on earth just happened? Here's this cloud of feathers. And so I draw the attention of everyone in the room. I'm like, guys, a pigeon just exploded. So, of course, everyone in the conference room, and they're all desperate for anything to talk about other than this status meeting on Friday afternoon that's going on. So they all turn around and look, and sure enough, here's this descending cloud of feathers. And they're like, oh my heavens, what just happened? And, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Finally, someone points out, they say, look, and about 10 feet to the right of where the pigeon was originally is this falcon standing on top of what are the remains of this pigeon. And he's got these, you know, razor sharp talons, and he's essentially kneading and squishing up this pigeon to prepare to start munching on him. And for the rest of that afternoon, we're essentially watching a nature show as he goes down and is ripping up strips of pigeon and devouring this thing as we're having this status meeting. Greatest nature show event. You know, we had a front row seat for it, and a great distraction for a Friday afternoon. So if you can set up something similar, you know, get some, you know, set out some tame wildlife to be hunted by something at just suggesting.
And probably could be a parallel good with the meeting with, you know, the person picking apart project plans, like,
much as the falcon consuming the pigeon, think I shall now talk to you about
PM.
Let's talk about your project plan, buddy.
That's right. That's what it felt like sometimes, right? And there were certain executives at the same place that would put up and I actually missed some of that. The person I'm thinking of was an accountant who's an executive, and he used to put up the project plan up in front of everybody and then just like, this date is passed and it's not 100%. Like, why not? And then he would be like, next time you come in, it better be fixed. I don't know if you remember that, but that was his mode of managing, and he would bring it up. And so, you know, project plans, if you don't update them, we used to always say the same thing, right? Anyways,
okay.
And I could be, hey, look, you know, some of these memories, like they say memories, you know, when they're stored, they could be coming out. So maybe it was a different company. I've been doing this a long time. But it seemed, the disembowelment, like live in meetings is a real thing. And in like, you know, I used to hate that. Well, at some points it took pleasure because my stuff was usually in order and someone else got wrecked, but it still, like, I mean, people cried and like, it wasn't cool at that same organization. Now I am probably, I can't remember whether this happened in that, I think it was the same conference room where this happened. I wasn't there when it occurred. I was on that first floor of the building. And so, you know, people are like, there's blood everywhere. Da, da, da. So the thing with these plate glass or these glass buildings, right, is there used to be tons of birds that would fly into them too. And just like, you know, because they'd see the reflection of the sky and. Yeah, you remember.
I think I know this story. Is this the turkey story?
This is the turkey, right? So same thing. Yeah. And now mind you, this glass is pretty, like if you punched it as hard as you can, you couldn't put your fist through it.
It's plate glass. It's wind resistant to like, you know, these gales and stuff. It's got to be 3/4 of an inch thick or something. They're massive. Yeah,
and I think it was lead lined glass because of when the building was developed. I think they wanted like it to be impenetrable to like. Anyway, so it was late and then there was, you know, I obviously didn't see it, but a turkey foot, like, must have got up, like, I'm thinking of like the, you know, the Roadrunner cartoon, full speed, bam, into the glass, shattered straight through, blood everywhere. I can't remember.
That was on our line of offices too,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
It had to have been someone that we knew because it was right there next to our offices.
And it just smashed through and there was blood. I'm trying to remember. I think the turkey like got up. I don't think it died. I think it got up, but it was insane. There was, again, feathers and blood and a big bang. It's crazy. Wasn't there an alligator in that pond too at one point that wasn't expected to be there?
Wow.
Don't you remember?
It could have been.
That?
I don't remember the alligator, no.
I don't know. Being on a golf course is interesting because, you know,
there's geese. Yeah, we would always be watching people take mulligan after mulligan and kind of being like, come on, guy, just hit it across when we're really bored on meetings.
Yeah. Just, you know, side story really quick on that one. Do you remember the guy in the parking garage? He had like either a BMW or a Porsche, and he would zip around the parking garage and he went full on into a pillar and like destabilized the garage. And I think they made him pay for it.
I know the guy you're talking about. I know that happened. I don't know if he had to pay for it, but yeah, I know that he was doing something he should have been doing in the parking lot. Sure.
Now, mind you, some days when I left, that's all I wanted to do was like let out like frustration and floor it and zoom around. And then I had just recently when I was on a conference call, I heard this huge bang at the front of my house. I'm like, what in the hell is that? Like it almost sounded like a gunshot, like really close. And a hawk had flown. I don't know. It must have been into the door. I'm surprised it didn't go through the glass. And it was just laying there like this. I'm like, holy crap. So I'm like, oh my God. So I ended up putting shoes on and I walked out and then it saw me and it, you know, got up and flew off. But like, that was pretty
funny. Did it hit the house or did it hit a window?
I think it hit that storm glass storm door.
That's amazing.
It hit
that
something because I think it was probably diving for the cat, thinking it could see in there.
Good thing it didn't take out your cat, for crying out loud.
Oh my God! Well, some days, but yeah, there's so many stories about that particular place, the meetings. Because the meetings, we had so many meetings there. Which one do you want to cover?
I have a great one. Almost at the start of my career, I had a group of Air Force guys that I was with, and a great bunch of a great group to be with. They just accepted me. It was a group that I really gelled with really quickly, and I enjoyed working together with them. We were working on infrastructure. So this was IT infrastructure for healthcare. And as we would do these implementations, they would have these long conference calls, sometimes multiple hours, 4 or 5 hours. You know, you'd be eating lunch and you're just gathered around. We'd have 4 or 5 of us gathered around a phone in the middle of the table. And my boss at the time, he was never shy with his opinions about the people who were on the conference call. There were maybe hundreds, but there were maybe as many as 50 or 60 people scattered across the country on that call. And probably mostly for my benefit, he would issue his scathing opinions about some of these people while we were on mute. And so we'd keep coming off and on mute because we'd have to participate and share updates and then mute ourselves. And while we were on mute, he would, you know, would say, that person couldn't manage their way out of a paper bag, a moron, you know, and he'd sort of lambast them, and then we'd go back off of mute. Well, with a number of times we went on and off of mute, I mean, everyone's had this experience before where you forget whether you're on or off mute. For the majority of us, hopefully, it's just you're sharing something, you know, like you're just being too loud or something. They say, hey, you're not on mute. But in this case, he would shout these caustic opinions about people live. Over the conference call, there would be these pregnant pauses, and then they'd say, you're not on mute. And he would invariably, his response was always the same. He'd say, sorry about that. And he'd hit mute. He'd repeat to the rest of us exactly what he said before, unabashedly. And he was never really embarrassed about that. He did it multiple times over and over again. It was an interesting learning for me, number one, to make sure that I knew where the mute button was and what its status was. I got in the habit of double muting. So now when you have like the whole star six kind of thing.
Star six.
In addition to your mute button. Yeah. I'd much rather be talking and people not hear me than issuing my frank opinions and getting cut out for it.
There's that Super Bowl ad that was basically that same theme.
Color's good, presentation's good. I'm shocked.
Glad you like it, sir. You are shocked? Really? Because we're shocked. Shocked you even get it, pal. Dave, what are you doing here?
Came to fix the mute button.
I'm sure this hasn't gone away, but I will tell you, the world, you know, has evolved. I don't want to sound like an old fogey. When you're younger and you're sitting with executives, like I'm talking my early 20s, and they're going off and you're like, huh, that's not appropriate. Like, that's, you know, about so-and-so or about this or about that or about, and yeah, sometimes they didn't even care if other people were in a room or if people were on the phone and everything else. The stuff that came out of people's mouths, like, I cannot imagine. Now, it's been a long time since I've run into an executive who is that unfiltered. I am sure they are out there. I think with the advent of smartphones, and this sounds, we sound so old. It's like, oh, before smartphones, but it's so true. I think when smartphones came out.
We didn't have cell phones at all when we were kids, let alone smartphones, right?
Well, let's not make us out to be sold. Like, we had phones, but like they didn't have like, you know, one button recording, like, so you know, you don't know who's going to record you and whatnot, but holy cow, the stuff that would come out of people's mouths. And, you know, I look back, I'm like, should I have said something? I'm like, I probably wasn't in a position, but my good now, like, but it's truly, truly unbelievable.
Well, yeah, go ahead. I want to hear one of your stories. Well, I just, on that topic, I had a, there was a meeting that I was being brought on really to share some understanding of scope, but it was a meeting between two executives, and the executive that had brought me along to share about the scope essentially was, I think, trying to have a discussion with his boss about why this program. His boss was new to the organization. It was a healthcare organization. His boss had just come to this healthcare organization from financial services, didn't understand at all the complexities, you know, if I don't want to make financial services sound like it's simple, but compared to healthcare, most of the financial services transactions are 1/100th of the complexity and nuances that are associated with healthcare. And so he came in and was visibly upset that we were spending this much money on creating a system that looked to him a lot like it was a simple financial transaction system. And so he starts getting agitated. And, you know, at some point after I had explained, you know, the scope to him, he goes off on a tirade, and it was so profanity laced. I heard new ones.
That dirty Perkish Harkabat Flatten Morton Philip Bucket Martin Perkaluma.
I'm like, I could tell that was ugly. I don't know what it means, but I could tell it was really ugly.
He was from a different place. I don't want to disparage the place he came from, but yes, there were some interesting phrases.
So maybe there were some local vernacular there that I wasn't familiar with, but you know, whatever it was, let's just say it was enough that this other executive who knew I was seasoned, he knew I wasn't taking this personally. You know, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm describing the scope. I haven't been, you know, in charge of deciding whether or not to do any of this. So I wasn't really worried about it. But it was funny because he muted us on our end of the line and just said, he apologized for, you know, he says that's unprofessional behavior. But for this guy who himself probably swore like a sailor a fair amount, I don't know, it was kind of stand up move for him to do that. But you're probably a little stand up a little better to that sort of stuff than I do, Jim, I imagine.
to state the obvious, because I'm usually the one spitting it out. So I can take it as much as I can dish it. I was in similar similar discussions with this person, and one of the most common transactions is a healthcare claim. And anybody who's been even has healthcare understands this. It's a claim. It's probably more complex than it needs to be. All it really is it's an invoice for services. Except I don't want to get into it, right? But he had said, why is this? I get that it's more complicated than an ATM transaction. And because he was talking about, why can't we do this in real time? Why is it that much different? I know it's a little bit more complex. I'm like, dude, no, like, I'm happy to take you through it, but it's like infinitely more complex. Like each transaction is different. And in fact, the company you're running decided to allow part of my French bastardization of the standard format for every freaking provider they dealt with. So not only is it complex, but your own company said, we'll customize this standard transaction to every vendor and every provider submitter. So there's no standardization. And then what drove me crazy.
Well, and not just that, but your inputs into be able to adjudicate that transaction.
Yeah.
Those aren't available in real time either. Those actually are coming in constantly as well on a batch cycle too. So.
Yeah, and this same person drove right, and it was I don't mind. Like, I think all of us have some level of arrogance in us, and I mean, he was super super confident. And what drove me crazy, he has these early meetings. Then inevitably, he would never be on site in person for any of them. He would be in his car. And my issue wasn't so much that he was in his car. He wouldn't leave his phone on mute. And he had the windows open. So it'd be like, the whole time. And eventually, I think it was his admin who joined, like, she would tell him, like, hey, you know, like, can you shut? Oh, sorry. And then he'd say something and forget to put the phone on me. I'm like, dude, you asked for this meeting. It's like 7 a.m. Could you at least be here? Drove me bananas. And then, you know, I just my last meeting, we were re-architecting a big part of that claims process. And we had a whole new flow, right, to make it all better, get the data standardized and everything else. The test, it's very, very hard to simulate the complexity of the production environment in testing. I spent a lot of my career trying to build simulation tools. They're much better now. That's a whole different topic. This company was getting, at that time, between 400,000 and 500,000 submissions a day. And you know, the variance in that is very difficult. So we couldn't test it enough. And then we ran into some issues. And so we had basically a go, no go. You're asked to provide a probability and all this. And I said, look, it's likely going to fail. And if it fails, what happens is, Braden knows this, everything queues up. So if you can't process for a day, that's 400, then it's 800, then it's 1.2 million.
You get a backlog. Yeah.
And then you get the backlog that was a rough, you know, I recommended we didn't go, went through meetings and they went anyways. What happened was what happened. And I was the person on the project.
Well, so what the result of that, did you end up like then in 100,000 more meetings to manage the operational disaster that fell out afterwards?
Now I'll go to bat. Everybody claims that they fixed the problem. It took over 3 months to get rid of that backlog and fix this. Whatever. Yes. It was a gazillion more meetings on. What would you call that? That's the irony is when there's problems, all people want to do is get everybody in a room and sit and talk about the problem. And then inevitably that just makes the problem resolution extend out because you're not spending time actually fixing the problem. So,
I mean, and that's actually, as a PM, one of the greatest values. So now we're kind of like taking a little sizer, but one of the greatest values that you can add as a PM, if you're a knowledgeable PM, not just a checkbox PM, but you actually know what's going on, know what the solutions are, know what the issues are. One of the greatest values that you can add to a team is fronting those conversations for the team. So you say, hey guys, are you all working the problem? Great. You do that. I'm going to go talk to, I'll run communications. And the PM updates everyone on what the issue is, what the solutions are being researched, who's working on it, making sure the resources that we need are there, et cetera. And don't let any of the team participate in any of that, because as a PM, your value is being able to understand that and communicate it, to not have to, if you have to as a PM say, well, gosh, I need my analyst, my coder, my architect here with me, then you're not adding the value that you should, because you should be essentially defending them from stupid stuff like that. Because you're right, the first thing that they say is, let's speed this up by me asking you all of these status questions. And then you're like, oh yeah, you're totally speeding it up. And then it's not just, you know, first it's your boss and your group that wants to know, then it's the PMO, then it's the executive leadership, and everyone wants their piece of the pie instead of staffing hierarchically. And yeah, so as a PM, I think you can avoid that. You were talking about backlogs, Jim, and just the word back sort of triggered. Speaking of kind of, you know.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Meetings of sorts.
Oh, Brady.
So, no, this is such a good one. So Jim and I, early on in our interactions, Jim had gone.
I went on vacation to somewhere.
Where did you go?
It was Maine.
Maine. Okay.
It was Old Orchard Beach for those who know the area. Yeah.
For those who have been to Maine, well, so two things, right? Because we need to be clear here. Number one, Maine is not the sort of place where you're really getting a lot of direct sun. Okay. I mean, it's so far north. I've been hiking in Maine. I've been to a Katy Perry, like I've been to different places. It's a beautiful, beautiful state. Not a lot of sun there. I'm just saying, as a general rule. Now I probably offended like all of the Maine. I love Maine. So the point is, Jim goes to Maine. He comes back and he claims to have a sunburn. So
yeah,
so
my
number
face
one,
is bright red. So that should have been a giveaway.
Number one, it's Maine. So I'm already not believing it. Number two, he claims to have a sunburn on his back. Okay. What would Jim be doing taking off his shirt in Maine anyway, right? Like, I'm not buying it. So what do I do? But in what I think is jest. Now he didn't describe the sunburn, by the way. He just says, oh yeah, I got sunburn back on my back.
You know.
And so what do? I brilliantly say, oh, okay, buddy. And I whack him on the back thinking, you know, he's going to be like, ah, you punk or something, right? He lets out the most blood-curdling, like, groan of pain. It was not casual. It was like as close to a scream without like actually screaming in an office as you can get. And we were in a big area where there were lots and lots of cubes, so he probably had to do everything he could to hold it in. I realized fairly quickly after I slapped him that I'm like, that was more than just a little ow, you punk. And almost immediately after I slap him, his shirt starts just getting wet. And not casually wet. It was wet. And I'm like, what on earth is going on? And he pulls down just kind of the top of his shirt to show me. And here are blisters in between the size of quarters and half dollars, that's not an exaggeration, that are raised a quarter of an inch off of his back. And I have just popped easily a half dozen of them just by smacking him on the back. He's in like agony. Were they bleeding? Like, or were they
just leaking? No, it's just, dude, serum, I don't want to be gross. Liquid, like pus, it was clear pus, but yeah.
Yeah, serum. And
yeah.
I felt sick to my stomach. I'm like, I did not just do that. Oh my goodness, Jim. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And you had to change your shirt, obviously. Did you like go to the
No, I had
center?
To,
what did
I
you
had,
do?
Went down to our, at that point we had opened that new medical health facility center. And
yeah.
And she was like very,
what did she say?
No, she said, was very concerned, said, look, you know,
yeah.
I'm on a border of like recommending you go to the ER and I'll clean this, but like
infection, right?
Right. It was. She's like, these are the equivalent of a bunch of open wounds, right?
Because right,
they're
right. They were closed. So, they were closed until I took care of it.
And that was she had given me a bunch of stuff, but yeah, it took a good week to to like have that get repaired. I
oh my goodness.
So this was, I'm actually looking at my photos. So this was 2006, and I wanted to see if
that was 2006 that happened.
Yep.
Yeah, so almost 20 years ago. That's hilarious.
I thought I had a picture in here. And
do you have a picture of the blisters?
Of the blisters.
Yeah, if you have them, post them in the.
I don't, but I'll see if see if I have not in this folder. Anyway, so yeah, that was pretty.
Whatever Jim claims that they are, I'll just attest to. I was,
and I had an undershirt. Even, that was the other thing. I had a t-shirt on it and went through both layers. It was that was so. I'll just say not to make it more morbid, but because of that sunburn, I actually have. I don't have anything cancerous, but I have now. I have to go annually. I have a non-normal growths of like moles, and they have to do they did a couple of biopsies and had
just
to remove
make sure
them.
That none of those
because Braden gave me cancer, but
because I'll say Braden's. I'm not taking responsibility for the sun exposure. I will take responsibility. If you had got infected and gone septic and passed away, I would have felt really bad when I took your more advantageous cube location. I would have felt terrible.
Thank God at that point I was in the habit of having at least one spare shirt in my vehicle at all times.
Well, that's because of how you eat during meetings, Jim. Come
that,
on.
That, yeah, so, yeah, speaking of... So, man, there are so many stories to talk about, and I'm sure you guys have them as well. I think at this... The problem with banning food from meetings is that you have to allow people to go eat outside of meetings and have time to do that. And I don't know about everybody else, but when you're in an office, like, and you have a meeting through lunch and the cafeterias are only open certain hours, and there are so many horror stories. And I don't know about everybody else, but like, I don't want to know people's eating habits. All the faux pas, right? You know.
Like people spilling food on themselves?
Well, all right. So all those who know me or worked for me, it's a running joke. And still when I see them and we go out to dinner, they all inevitably wait for food to drop, and it's right here somewhere on my shirt. Inevitably some set of food hits there, and it's just this ongoing joke. And I've always had to replace shirts.
If you weren't a good sport about it, Jim, then people wouldn't tease you. But if you looked very stern instead of just laughing at yourself, then people would be afraid to mention it. They wouldn't say anything. Come on.
It's just it got to the point where I was out with one of my folks and my friends, and and she's like, "Oh my God, like there's nothing on your shirt." So, like, that's how bad it is. They're surprised.
So it's notable when you come away clean. Is that what it is?
Which is just frightening. I mean, there's a million stories. I'm actually interested in other people's stories. So please share yours. I mean, I could do a whole episode on just weird behavior at executives. I mean, I had an executive who, I swear to God, it felt like he was on, like he did a line of cocaine. Right, like right before every meeting, the dude buzzed, like this is like vibrated, and no lie, like we used to always have for the morning meetings. This was back in the cool internet startup days where you always had like food, so we had donuts or we'd have something. That dude would eat at least six donuts and drink a six pack of Coke in the meeting in like a half an hour, and he was thin as a rail. We also had Air Force, a whole group of Air Force people, and yes, they're very good, but. You know, I was so many stories coming out of there. I'm looking through my list of other things, and I think we covered quite a few of them. So we wanted to, you know, take a little bit of a detour and just share and let you guys know. I'm sure you guys are dealing with all sorts of weirdness and meetings and everything else, and we want to share some of our stories. Is there any more you wanted to cover?
No, I've told too many stories as it is. I think, you know, what I enjoy about it is there's always lessons from, I mean, you learn, I think some common, well, hopefully some people learn at least some, you know, common, courtesy, or at least the way that others might perceive certain things, you know. So if you need to say, clean up your language, I won't mention specific people, you know, but, or if you need to think about the context in which you're going to, share things that maybe doesn't as directly draw attention to others' faults or less desirable traits, always a good thing as well. But the you know, hopefully I think this season delving into some of the stories, even the lighter stories during from the trenches is going to be one of our themes for this coming season here.
And I think, you know, one of the things we'll shoot for this year too is to invite some guests on. So there's some guests that Brayden and I have in common who could really shed some more color on to even some of these stories that I think would certainly be fun. So yeah, so
dangerous,
we're looking
for us, the three of us to get together potentially.
I miss that, because again, I think one of the things with meetings is you sometimes, I feel like I don't want to, you know, like you know, little kids sometimes have a secret language, you know, over after a while, like you have an unspoken, like kick somebody under the table language, like a certain eye movement or something, be like, you've been talking way too long, or like, can you believe that person said that? And like, I miss some of that rapport that we used to have.
The greatest thing, especially with like myself, Jim, there was another person who, you know, we shared sort of that unspoken language. The hardest part about that one was I was the only person of the group that could actually keep a straight face.
Yeah.
The other two would just be like,
oh my God, it's so brutal. Like, because you know what can make another person laugh. And yeah, it's so bad.
And I would just say something. I would say it deadpan.
Yep.
It would be either, you know, a double entendre or something that had essentially meant more than one thing. And they picked up on it and they would just, you know, laugh. And I'd be like, guys, what, are you okay? You know, I'd keep a straight face.
The last thing we used to, at some point, to break, and I wonder how many of you have done this, and you've seen it in like the shows, like the, I don't even know if The Office had an episode like this, but like, it's so true. It's like before the meeting, like there's a set of obnoxious phrases. It'd be like, you have a game to see who can weave those phrases in.
Sure.
Like into,
yeah, we used
just
to do that, didn't we?
Yep.
I think we did that. We would give each other, we'd say, okay, you know, you've got to fit this word in. It's a common thing.
Like a wet hot dog or some, like, we could think,
sure.
Like, how and are you going to weave that in?
Boy, this project is failing like a wet hot dog, guys. Right. Let me just get... Those are good days. And it's a good way, actually, not just for camaraderie, but it's a good way to kind of make things a little bit entertaining in an otherwise dry meeting, dry setting.
Or super fun, stressful environment. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So why don't you close it up this week?
Very good. All right. So thank you, everyone, for joining us for this episode. And as always, if you enjoy what you see, feel free to follow us, subscribe, like, and you can, of course, find everything that you need, whether at our website or the various places where we have stuff stored. And look forward to being able to share more stories with you in the future.
Thanks, everybody.
And with that, yeah, we'll sign it off. Thanks, everyone.
Talk to you guys next time.